Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You were having some difficulty, I take it.
Yeah, I was. We got it fixed.
Do you have any questions, Marka?
Not tonight, is there?
Okay. Well, maybe somebody else does and it'll jog out.
Okay. Is anybody else on?
Not yet.
Okay. Hello.
Good evening.
Miranda.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Does anybody have any questions?
I have a question.
All right. Well, let's wait a second.
I'm just getting old. I'm getting into the room.
That's,
I was talking to a potential new student, so that's why I'm a little bit late. And so that's a good thing. There was one thing I was thinking about.
Let's hold off on the questions. Just keep it in mind.
Okay.
I just wanted to know if something who had questions. But let's do the L'shem Yehud and follow that by the five meditations for the 3-week period.
Okay.
L'shem Yehud kubcha brichu ishkinte bit hiluur himuud hiluud hiluur himu liatta l'shem yudhe bavavhe b'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah lasok Torah mitzvah Vayihino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kanunei aleinu maasei yadeinu kanuneihu. The first meditation, Tet Dalet Hey Dalet. The second meditation, Taf Vav Zayin Vav. The third meditation, Mem Tzadi Pei Tzadi. These three names have a gematria of 360, which is the same gematria as the letter Shin when spelled out Shin Yud Nun. So through these three meditations, we have created a Shin. The fourth meditation is to transform the word Sera, Sadi Reshe, into Retse, Resh Sadihe. These are the same letters in a different order. So, Sera has the meaning of troubles. Retse has the meaning of opportunity. To transform troubles into opportunities requires energy. That energy comes from the letters Resh, Tzadi, He. But to that, we have to add the name of God, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. So we have a gematria of 295 plus 65, which reaches 360, again creating a second shin and utilizing the energy of that shin to transform troubles into opportunities. The fifth meditation is from the word Sim Shalom, which has a gematria of 726. When we take the two shins that we created in the first four meditations, we have 720. When we add one for each of the six names of God that we utilize in these meditations, Tet Dalet He Dalet, Kaf Vav Zayin Vav, Mem Tzadi Pei Tzadi, Elohim, Hashem, Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. When we add the six for the six names, one for each name, we have 726. And this is where we receive the connection and the ability to inject shalom, peace, into this period of the 3 weeks. Brandy, why don't you go first with your question?
Well, my question was, when we leave this dimension and go to wherever we go, do we still have the ability to affect things that go on in this dimension?
Well, you're using the word dimension, so I'd rather use the word the physical world. Because you can travel to a different dimension, but it's still a physical plane. It's still part of the world of Asiyah. There can be different dimensions within the same world of Asiyah. But to really address the question you're asking, the word Asiyah translates as actions. Everything is consciousness, except in the world of Asiyah, where what is important is actions. So when we leave the world, physical world, the world of Asiyah, and we go to the Garden of Eden, which is a level, another code word for the level of Zeranpin, or we go to the world that is coming, which is the level of Bina, the level of Briah. As we enter these worlds, which also has multiple dimensions, we are not able to do actions. Because in those worlds, it's more spiritual, and it's more dealing with consciousness levels. But it's also dealing with consciousness of emotions. It's dealing not just with consciousness in the thought, in the idea of your brain is where your consciousness is. Every part of your body has a consciousness. And in those worlds, it is different than in the physical world, which is dealing with actions. So what is special about this physical world is that we can do mitzvot that earns an effect of positivity. We can do good deeds, actions in this physical world that creates an effect not just in the physical world, but in all of the spiritual worlds as well. But once we leave this world, we are not able to impact through action. And that's the real blessing of being in this world. Hannah, your question?
Yes. Okay, I was wondering about persons who have names which are animals. For example, someone might be named Jonah. That means a dove. Is that a hint that that person was probably from the animal kingdom in a previous lifetime?
I wouldn't go that far. I have not heard any of my teachers express that idea. What they have expressed, because it applies to every name, not just the animal names, we are so far from nature, living in cities. What are the characteristics of a dove? But the only thing I know about a dove is they mate for life.
Right.
But there are many other characteristics of a dove. Or the name dove, in English is D-O-V, which means a bear. What are the characteristics of a bear? They hibernate. If you understand the characteristics of the animal as it lives in its environment, you can extrapolate that knowledge to understand the character traits that are the potential of a person who is named for that animal. But we are so far from nature. I get an email from I guess he's a zoologist. He's a very interesting writer. His conflict in the Jewish world is between mysticism and logic and rationality. He is a rationalist. He is not willing to accept the idea of things that are outside of the rational approach to things. And his writing I find very interesting, not because he is correct or that because I don't agree with him or I do agree with him, but essentially he is the closest person I have read to nature. We did a few classes on his animal encyclopedia of the Torah, where he was explaining and expressing and using the Torah to describe the different words that the Torah uses for the different animals. He hasn't completed it. It's just one volume, and we only went through about half of that volume. But we do not truly know, I can't say we, I do not truly know what a name of an animal, what are the character traits that that animal represents? And without that knowledge, how can you apply it to a human being? Randy, it's back to you. Do you want to continue with the same subject? Do you want to ask a different question? And anybody else is welcome to
well, raise no. You pretty well answered my question. I was just, the reason I asked the question was earlier in my life I had something similar happen to where I had a great-great-grandmother that had a house, and she didn't want the house moved, but she passed on, and eventually they sold it to a developer. And he had a very hard time moving it, moving that house. He had a whole series of unexplained circumstances happen. And the last day that he was going to move the house, when he came that day, of course, it was all disconnected from electricity, and there weren't any homeless people around, and the house burned to the ground. So then what recently occurred was my husband's business. There was no electricity connected to the building, and it had just recently been updated on the wiring. And it was fixing to be reconnected to the main source. And like his birthday was on Tuesday, on Friday, I had an occurrence at my work, something I couldn't explain, where it was a light that was darting around my office. And then on Sunday, his business burned to the ground.
All of you are still paying insurance.
Oh, well, the people that were actually buying the building, I think they were.
Okay.
So,
we understand the question. You're really asking whether there's people in the upper worlds that are going to impact the actions in the physical world to the positivity or the negativity, to the betterment or the lessening of the relationships of people's economic effect. And the answer to that question is similar to what I said. There are guardian angels. There are attacking demons. But all of that is settled by the courts in the spiritual worlds, that the decree is issued. And that decree was issued on Rosh Hashanah last year. And it was served to the angels to implement. So it wasn't your grandmother with the burning of the house, although she may have testified. But I doubt sincerely whether the upper court, the spiritual court, was going to accept testimony about things, physical things, because physical things have no meaning there. Physical things are not important there. Physical things are important to human beings in the physical world. But that's really the conflict. That is the argument between Hashem and Satan. Because Hashem has told us the important thing is spirituality. And Satan has been given the task to pull you away from that spirituality. When we talk about physical things, we're being brought away from spirituality unless we have elevated our consciousness that we are choosing to do physical actions and connect to physical things with a spiritual consciousness. My namesake, Chanoch Ben Yared, the man who walked with God, who lived 365 years. Chanoch Ben Yared was a cobbler. He made shoes for his living. His consciousness, when he was making that shoe, was on God and connected to God. That's what the meaning of walked with God is. It's a code phrase. Where do you walk? You walk on your feet. What are you wearing when you walk? Shoes. And it's from this that the sages in the Talmud and the Zohar expressed that Chanoch Ben Yared was a cobbler. And when he made a shoe, he was injecting light and consciousness of God into the shoe. So whoever purchased that shoe or traded for that shoe, because who knows if they used money then, whoever received that shoe literally was walking on clouds. He was walking on air. That is the way it is described in various writings of the sages. So it's not that there's anything wrong with connecting to physical things, but it is incorrect if you don't have the consciousness of injecting godliness into those or with those physical things. I live in an independent living facility. There are people here that I eat dinner with every night, and they are speaking constantly about the quality of the food. For me, I eat food because I need that energy to live. But when I'm injecting the food into my body, I'm trying to inject the consciousness of God into that food as it comes into my body. I do not succeed very often. I don't mean to imply how wonderful I am. I'm talking about what is the goal. But if you listen to the conversation around the dinner table, it does not appear to me that these people are injecting godliness into the food they're eating. They're just talking about the physical pleasure of the taste of the food. And that is the mistake that Abel made. As the Torah says, Abel also brought a sacrifice. The word also implies it wasn't a primary focus of his consciousness. It was secondary. And at his spiritual level, he was allowed to be killed because of that secondary consciousness. He was leaving spirituality and saying, look, these pleasures are amazing. These physical pleasures are overwhelming, and I love them. This is what I'm interested in. Yes, I brought the sacrifice because I saw my brother did. I know it was supposed to happen, but I was doing it just because I'm so enamored with physicality. This is my understanding from my teachers and my studies. Hannah, do you want to continue your question or have another one?
No. The reason I asked the question, though, it made me think of the face reading lessons that we've had, that you know, that when you know some of them, that you recognize them in people's faces.
Yes.
You know, and I kind of related that to the idea of the animal, and that was why I asked the question.
I wondered if the book, like,
you know,
both
a correlation.
Of your questions are excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Both of the questions are excellent.
But I can also see that just the names of persons, you know, just like you relate your name to Hanok Vineyard, well, see, I can do the same thing with Hannah, and Brandy can do the same thing with Raquel, because she has Raquel as one of her names.
And Malka can live with her name as well.
Right. So, yeah. So that was why I asked the question.
Appreciate it. Any other questions?
Oh, I have one more question.
Go ahead.
My question, are we still doing Tikkun Leah in the afternoon? Because I'm confused on the time.
The timing is 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock your time. And yes,
okay,
we are still doing it, except that most of the days I forgot and nobody called me to remind me. They sent, as you did yesterday, that you sent me an email or a text that I didn't get. But the yes, I did it this afternoon. It was 3 o'clock my time, 2 o'clock your time, and no one was on the call. But I attribute that to me because the patterns have got distorted because we haven't had that many times we've done it.
So it's 2 o'clock our time because on the commentary, the weekly, it says 3, so we took that to mean 5. So we really are off schedule. I couldn't make it today, but...
Part of the problem is with the where the 3 o'clock comes from is that's the time in the Eastern where my time zone is that I'm doing it, and I've been here now 4 years and I keep making those mistakes because I set all the times on West Coast time because that's where we started, and it would have been confusing for people to try and jump around with the times. So by establishing that path, but then I'm losing it, making that mistake. So I'm glad that Brandy asked the question, and let's be clear, for now until Tisha B'Av, which is about 10 days away, 11 days away, we will do it except for Shabbat and Sunday. We will do it at 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central, noon on the West Coast.
Okay, so 2 o'clock for us. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Well, you know, there are no mistakes. And although we don't know the reason why, there is a perfectly good reason that I hope we will find out later on.
So you can learn to be independent and do it yourself without a teacher if you have to. If you have to, you know, we got to grow up.
No,
although I have to admit, it is better when we're doing it together.
It is
you admit
better.
That. But see, it forces you to either read it in Hebrew by yourself, even if you're a little bit slow, or to read it in English, you know, to recall what each one of those psalms really say, you know.
Right.
So it's a learning experience, too. So.
That it is.
There you go.
And if you get used to it, we can just transport that to after midnight when the 3 weeks are over.
So see, we used to do that as a group many years ago.
Yeah, we
when the Tikkun HaZoah book first came out by the Breastovers, we used to meet at 12 and 1 o'clock.
I know. I used to get up, set my alarm, and get up and travel 30 minutes to be with the other two people that I did it with. And there we were in the middle of the morning. And when we got through, I traveled 30 minutes back, go back to bed. Oh, that was before I even knew we were supposed to do it.
Baruch Hashem. And I'm sure that you, if you think back, your connection to Hashem was much stronger at that moment.
Probably, yes.
Well, I don't know if it was the connection to Hashem as much as the connection to what we had lost not having the temple. I mean, we really cried when we would do the prayers. We really would.
So do you still feel the lack of the temple? Or do you feel it as strongly as you did then? It's a rhetorical question. It's a rhetorical question.
Well, I don't mind answering.
Yeah. I'm answering it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I do not feel the lack of the temple as strongly as I did when I was doing the Tikkun Chatzot regularly.
Yeah.
But that just is, you know, during these 3 weeks, I've been feeling the lack of the temple and feeling the lack of doing that connection. And what I'll do with that, you know, I don't want to vow that I will improve, but I'm going to make the effort to improve and return back to what I was doing then.
Well, Baruch Hashem, that's good.
I know. The question is, will it happen?
It will. As you just said, it will.
In one of my lifetimes.
Well, you know, it'll be waiting for you. Things like that wait for you.
I don't want it to wait for me. I want it built.
I want it to come down from heaven.
There was the Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Israel announced yesterday that we are to build the temple, not wait for it to come down from heaven.
Well, that shows how far apart we are.
Well, I'm ordering my hammer and nails.
You're getting your hammer and nails, but you have to import it into Israel when you go.
Well, there you go.
Brandy's going to win.
And remember, if I looked in your closet, I got to find your suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I've learned about packing? Sometimes all that stuff you pack, you never ever get to wearing it, or you ever never need it. So I'm convinced that all I need is a pair of jeans and a couple of t-shirts.
Well, I would agree with that, but please pack your toothbrush, too.
Okay, toothbrush. I'll pack it.
I know. She's going to win the publishing house, clearing house. and she's going to get us all over there with a nice,
that's
beautiful
right.
Home.
That's right. We're going to have the big Hanok complex.
I'm waiting.
I am too, trust me.
I shouldn't have said I'm waiting, actually, and neither should you, Brandy, because we have to do the actions. That's the joy of being in this physical world, being able to do the good deeds.
Well, I keep doing what they tell me to do on the publishing clearing out tweet tag. They keep saying they're coming, but they never show up. Must not be time.
But no, it's not that it's not time. It's the point is that we're not ready, and we have to change to be ready.
Well, I went and got my identity card so we can travel. You know, we have to have that identity card by October of 2020. Or you can't travel by airplane within the U.S. or outside the U.S. And you can't enter a federal building. So we got ours last week. Or maybe it was this week. I'm not sure.
Well, I guess if that's the case, a lot of people won't be going to the post office.
Well, you don't go to the post office. You go to the driver's license place, and it doesn't cost anything. And
no, but that's a federal building.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant to get the identity card.
No. That's a federal building.
So you have to have an identity card by October of 2020.
Yes. And on the bottom it says permanent.
That means I'm going to live forever if it says permanent.
That's right. See, Hannah, you've just been given permission to live forever with us. 300 years plus.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. You all have a good evening.
Okay. And I'll be introducing you to Oshana, and we won't meet next week, but possibly the week after, and I'll let you know when she gets here.
Very good.
Okay. All right.
All right. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Night.